James chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, is where we're going to start this morning, godly wisdom. This message actually was a scripture verse reference in the Christmas series. You remember the message we talked about, the wise men? God will guide the wise to himself. Remember that? James chapter 3 was a reference in one of those multiple points of my message. And when I included that into the message, I read that verse over and over, and I read that verse over several times the following weeks thinking, wow, there's a lot here yet to be mined out. And so I just kind of stuck it back, wanted to revisit again in James chapter 3. We're talking about godly wisdom. And Brother Mike shared something with us this morning already that I want to highlight. Do you like to use a yellow highlighter or do you use a pink one? Whatever kind of highlighter you use today, we're going to highlight what Brother Mike has said, because it's an example of wisdom. When we talked about this morning, Brother Mike, I love how you said, and I don't think I've ever heard it, the safest place for Daniel was in that lion's den. Why? Because he was right where the Lord wanted him and was fulfilling that purpose. That's wisdom. Then you shared with us about the martyred pastor, and we think that's horrible. No, he was right where the Lord intended for him to be. And we have yet to learn and understand the impact, not just of his life, but the impact of his death that had on those who he ministered to. Now, worldly wisdom would tell you, why in the world would you celebrate such a horrific thing? We're not so much celebrating death. We're not celebrating martyred, those that are martyred for Christ. We're celebrating that Jesus has overcome anything and everything that the world could possibly throw at us, including Satan himself. Therein lies the victory, is Jesus, not what happens to us. The wisdom of the world says, I want to get to a place that I can stand on my own. But yet biblical wisdom says the greatest place for us to be is broken, helpless, and on our knees before the Lord. And therein lies the greatest strength that we will ever find in our Christian walk with the Lord. Do you understand that, believer? That is wisdom, God's wisdom. Even as believers today, we keep looking for a place that I can finally say that I've achieved what I've been seeking. I can finally say that I'm walking the Christian life exactly how I should be. We all want to find that place that I can finally go through a whole week and say, I didn't fail one time. That's not strength. That's self-delusion. And if it's not self-delusion, then it begins to lead us to a place of hypocrisy. Amen? The closer we walk with the Lord, the more broken that we realize we are. The closer that we are to the Lord, the more dependent and hungry that we become. Amen? So my friend, the path to godly wisdom must pass through a time of brokenness. Maybe even embracing a life of humility. We talk about the Lord Jesus. We talk about that he loved us. We talk about that he created us. We talk about all that he is. The very God of heaven come in the flesh. The flesh, the same flesh that you and I live in. And he come to walk upon this earth and did so perfectly. But what is the pinnacle that we go to of what Jesus has done? The cross, right? Now, we just celebrated a month ago the birth of the Lord Jesus, but yet the Bible tells us we're not to celebrate his birth, but we're to memorialize and remember his death. Why would we want to celebrate something so gross and gruesome and violent? Because at a time of absolute broken surrender and submission to the Father, by the world's standards, foolishness, was the time that God had blessed the earth with the greatest power of salvation and the greatest expression of love that will ever be seen or known by all eternity. Whose wisdom are we following today? What is the wisdom that truly stirs our hearts? What is the wisdom that we see that causes us to stand up in defense of the truth of God's word? What is the wisdom that causes us to sacrifice all that we have and all that we are to bring honor and glory to the name of Christ? What wisdom is it that we lean upon knowing that no matter what it costs us today, we know that we are secure in the God's hands and purpose and plan for our life? What wisdom is it that we seek? James gives us an understanding What is that wisdom that we want to see in the body of Christ? I notice in a lot of studies and in different commentaries that we see that they keep going back to that James is trying to reach the teachers and leaders. While this message is paramount for us as leaders in the Lord's church, but yet I think it is absolute necessary for us as a believer in Christ that we understand what godly wisdom is and therefore are seeking to know, to live, and to be ruled by the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of this world. We are in a battle, whether you realize it or not. Unfortunately, we're living in a day and age that we think or are being presented that we can compromise with the world that is around us and with the standards of the rules that keep changing and adjusting and think that we can compromise therewith and still be a child of God. James says that the wisdom of the world is polar opposite and is in opposition and is attacking the wisdom of God. That's what Satan does. That's what Satan is doing. And that's what Satan is presenting. But can I assure you that the presentation of the worldly wisdom is so subtle? It's so subtle that even those that are walking with God and never sinned before and they walked in the garden, Adam and Eve, as they walked in the garden, the scripture says they walk with the Lord in the cool of the day, that each evening they'd walk with him and they'd fellowship with him, they'd talk with him. They were unclothed because there was no need for clothing, there was no shame, it was innocence, there was no sin. Everything was well, and yet the wisdom of the world, started by the father of all lies, which is Satan himself, as he comes to Eve and says, has God really said? And that's where it starts. Has God really said that you will die? Surely you won't die if you eat of this fruit that God has forbidden to eat of. That is a distinction of the worldly wisdom, and the results thereof is death. And we still are struggling with that decision today. Amen? James gives us an understanding. What does the wisdom look like in the Lord's church? As we look at James chapter 3, verse 13, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Wow, do you think he would go there? This worldly wisdom that comes from the world? That's not what I'm hearing today. I'm hearing that it's okay. Oh, how could you be so insensitive and uncaring to speak the truth, to label what lies are, to label what sin is? How could you do that? But yet, James says, the Word of God says, the authoritative Word of God says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Folks, we're drawing lines in the sand, so to speak. We're drawing sides. Now, can I encourage you that in our society today, they're going to say, oh, they're showing division. My friend, when you speak the truth, you're not always going to have fans. And that's just the way it is. You know what? My kids never liked it when I corrected them. When I was a kid, I didn't like being corrected. Do you know why? Because we like to do what we want to do. That's our human nature. But what we do is not always the right and the best thing to do. Would you agree? So therefore, if we want to know the truth, then God the Father must correct us. Amen? And as he sets a distinction of what is true wisdom, he is leading us to a wisdom that brings the truth, that brings us to a place of righteousness. Worldly wisdom will not, but godly wisdom will. For verse 16, he says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Who is wise and understanding among you? In the Greek, he's saying, who is skilled / professionals at the art of living in righteousness? You know, when we talk about wisdom, there's a pairing with that wisdom in the scripture verse Psalm that Brother Doug read this morning. Actually, it's Proverbs. I'm sorry, Brother Kurt. Proverbs 4, 1 through 9. I wanted you to look at verse 7. And in verse 7, he kind of lays out for us, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. I heard a pastor one time when I was younger, he says, now, when you talk about wisdom, get all you can it, put a lid on it, and then hide it in your heart, okay? What in the world is he talking about? Well, when we get wisdom, first of all, verse 1, he tells us what wisdom is. He says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you the good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Retain my words and keep my commands and live. Now, even though Solomon is speaking to his son, he's giving him biblical principles by which he's pointing to the Father, saying, as God the Father is guiding us, he says, keep my word, keep my commands, and then live them, right? And so wisdom is being described later in this chapter as he gives her a girl's reference. He's giving her as one that you will seek her, one that is seeking and longing for her. Why? Because she's going to give you life. She's going to give you wealth. She's going to give you blessing. And as we seek God's wisdom, we're seeking a wisdom that doesn't look familiar to the wisdom that we're used to seeing in our own lives, in the world that is around us. It's going to look different. It's going to sound different. It's going to cost us something where the world offers wisdom for nothing. But yet, actually, the cost comes much later when we must face God the Father in judgment. The cost for godly wisdom comes now, but the reward comes with eternal blessing. Do you see the difference? So in verse 7, it told us that with all of your getting, that wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Now, understanding, the meaning of that word, is a skilled ability. In fact, that's where we get that professional. Have you ever watched people that are in the workplace, that they've gone to school, they got all the book learning, they got all the knowledge, but then when they get on location, and then they have to begin to put those things to practice, that they begin to pick up tools and they're awkward, they're fumbling things around and they don't know how these things go together. And more than that, they don't know why they go together. But you get a skilled tradesman, they are able to pick up tools and they handle them as if they were an extension of their own body. They are able to use and manipulate those tools in such fine and intricate detail and with such efficiency and effectiveness, you stand back and say, wow, this guy has done this before, or this lady has done this before. Why? Because you can see the effects of the life experience in their hands and in the product that comes out of that. Folks, in the Christian life today, the wisdom that you are given to will be seen in the life that you live, the attitude of your heart, and therefore the practice of your faith will be seen by what wisdom you have acquired. We spend a lot of time talking about God. We spend a lot of time talking about what we should do. We talk a lot about what needs to be done, what God calls us to do, but yet how often do we find ourselves becoming professionals of actually doing? Can I give you a plug on those that are in our church that are, what was it, mature? Is that the right word? That's right. We don't want to get in trouble. We got to use those kind words, mature, those that are experienced, exactly. Can I admit to you, I was young at one time, and I just thought those that were mature were just kind of stuck in their own ways and boring. Can you relate to me? And some of that you will find that the familiarity becomes very comfortable. But you're going to find also that things around you change much faster than you can keep up with. And so those are things to deal with. But with God's wisdom, God tells us to watch those that are experienced in righteousness. And in fact, that's why cultures, even in the Jewish culture, that wisdom was a paramount, a most primary commodity that was sought out. And they understood that those, their elders, the patriarchs, were to be revered because they have lived the life and they began to see the characteristics of godly wisdom as they began to wield the tools of righteousness, and they found that they were experienced and able to teach and hand off that wisdom to future generations. Do you wonder why they're trying to destroy the system of the family, the home, the church? Is to cut off that handing down of the professional, experienced ones that are living in righteousness and not giving them the opportunity to hand that on, and to devalue what they have because it doesn't fit into the world's wisdom. But yet when we find out one day that we have dismissed all that is valuable, how are we going to get that back because they haven't handed it down? The character of godly wisdom is that those that are wise, who is wise? Who is skillfully applying the knowledge of matters to practical living? We can talk about Christianity in theory all day, but if we never go home and practice what we have been laid forth in the Scriptures here today, if you don't go before the Lord and say, God, am I that one that is following your wisdom, or am I following the world's wisdom? If you don't go home and ask the Lord to get you straight and get you on His page and back where He wants you to be, serving His purpose and plan, then can I ask you, what good are we doing here? Because this is what happens when you begin to shape your heart and mind to follow God's plan and purpose. The preaching of God's word no longer becomes browbeating, but it becomes an opportunity that I can understand more of what God is calling me to do and desiring of me from my life, that I may bring honor and glory to Him. If we learn how to skillfully use what God's word has given us, the understanding we have covered already, the good conduct. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. What is your conduct? It is your conversation and it is your life. Those that are truly wise will never be found pushing themselves into a place of leadership. They won't be pushing themselves to the front. They won't be pushing themselves to the top. But you will know them by their ordinary conversation and the skill with which they order their lives, their relationships, their conduct, and even the tone that they have in every interaction. Are you with me, church? Are you thinking of those who are wise right now? There's many of them in our presence today. And then there are some of us that need to continue to grow in that wisdom. But notice what he says. Those that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Now, I know that they use his, but this is an example for, it doesn't matter if you're a brother or sister in Christ, this is all pertaining to each and every believer, that are those works being done in meekness of wisdom. What is meekness? Simply to be mild, it speaks of humility. True wisdom has humility as its companion. In the world today, we find that we must be strong, we must be loud, and we must be assertive and push our way into things that we want. If you want it, you have to go get it. You have to go take it. Am I right? That's the world that we live in. But that's not God's world. That's not the Lord's church. And in fact, if you want to challenge that ideology, even Jesus comes and says, I have not come to be served, but I have come to serve. The King of glory, the creator of the universe, the one who had the power at any moment could have spoke us out of existence, could have destroyed everything that we know and ceased to exist by just a word from his mouth. And yet he came to serve. My friend, Wisdom is not an easy path. God's wisdom is not an easy path. But my friend, it is the only path to righteousness. It is the only path. The meekness is that they will not shove themselves to the front. They won't be insisting upon themselves. Humility in a life of a believer is that they have surrendered over to God's purpose and plan. So therefore, when they are wronged, when they are hurt, when they are taken advantage of, they're not seeking for revenge. They're not seeking to be bitter, but yet they understand the sovereignty of God over their lives and over the lives of those who are around them. This meekness of wisdom, they have given themselves over to the Lord that they may be used in whatever capacity that God has chosen. And in fact, in many situations, those that are wise will have to be asked to step up and take a lead. Why? Because it is the character of God's wisdom to be humble and treatable and teachable and willing to stay in the back, but yet by their experience, by their example, be called to the front. I feel like in our message today, I give you an appetizer and I've got an entire four-course meal here ready to go. I apologize to you for my enthusiasm that sometimes it overrides my practical side. Me coming to you with a message of wisdom is probably the most humorous and ironic situations in life. Paul even made a statement that when he was talking about the perfections of God, he says, I have not yet obtained these things, but yet I come to you seeking with you. And so I do today when we talk about godly wisdom. But I think it's necessary for us to explore and come to an understanding is that there's so many voices that are on the outside that have such a valuable and money-backed platform that they're pushing upon us and especially upon our children that we need to be careful. We need to be aware because the wisdom of this world is going to continue to gain footing to the point that when Satan comes, he's going to have all of these things laid out. And during this period we call the tribulation period of 7 years of tribulation, it's going to be a good description of hell on earth. And yet, hell is going to be even worse. Are you getting what I'm saying? And in fact, the deceptions of Satan will be so powerful, the scripture describes it, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Are you with me? Church, we need to be aware of who is, what is the wisdom of God and what does it look like so that we can defend ourselves, but more than that, that we may grow. Lindsay Lane, we need people who are skilled professionals in living in righteousness. Some of you think, well, it's definitely not me. There's a good chance it might be you. Because when you recoil, you're much like me. Lord, I'm desperate. I am the wrong one to be presenting your word on this. But can we be honest? Every single verse of scripture that I pick up and present to you, I am unworthy. You know why? Because I'm a sinner saved by grace, desperate for the salvation of the Lord Jesus, fully and completely dependent upon Him, and only by Him can I ever have a time and opportunity to stand before the Father. And when He says, why should I let you into my heaven? I'm going to just scream out, I have no right, purpose, deserve anything that you give. But you said that Jesus died for me, you sent Him for me, and I lay claim to Him because He's all that I have. But from my understanding, He's all that I need. And so, Father, I deserve nothing, but Jesus bought me, and I called upon Him to be my Savior. Father, I've got nothing else. But you know, according to God's Word, that's all that we need. But only the wisdom of God's Word will share that with you. World wisdom will try to convince us that I can do something to earn my way. I can do something to make all the bad go away. I can do something that will make me feel better, maybe even just to forget that there's a God that I will stand in judgment before. Forget that there's a hell that will be a place of separation from God forever and ever. But God's Word gives us a wisdom that will bring us into eternity. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. If you need to know what that means or you want to explore that further, would you see me after this service? I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. This is going to be our dismissal. And guess what? Next week, we're going to be talking about wisdom. Part two. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for your Spirit guiding us and your message and your word and the singing and the praise and the worship that we've had today. Lord, we desperately need you. Even in the things that we think that we have control of, Lord, we know that you are sovereign over all things. And it is for your purpose that we have been called here. It is for your purpose and for your pleasure that we come to worship and to glorify you. And so, Lord, may we be able to see the intertwinings of every part of our lives, every thought, every attitude, every word, and every desire, that you may draw us in and unto yourself. Lord, there may be some here that are still questioning if they truly have a personal relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to convict, to guide, and to draw them to yourself. Lord, you said if we'll lift up Jesus, that he'll draw all men to himself. So, Lord, we are exemplifying, we are presenting Jesus above all else, because only he can forgive sin, only he can save, and only he can provide entrance into heaven and to eternal life. Lord, we pray that each one knows you, not just of a head knowledge, but of a heart knowledge, that they have experienced, they have followed, they obey, and they have trusted in you. Lord, help us to be the people you want us to be in this community. Help us to be the church body, living, sharing the gospel of Christ. May we be faithful. May we grow and to become professionals of living in righteousness. We ask these favors in the name of Jesus, that we may bring glory to the name of Jesus, that we will be found as faithful disciples, fulfilling the Great Commission, and that when you return, the question has been asked, will he even be able to find faith? Lord, we pray that by your power and by your salvation, that we will be that faithful candle still shining when you return. But only by your wisdom and by your strength that we can accomplish these things. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.